Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
By Representative Salzman and Representative Savoy and others, House Bill 759, a bill to be entitled An Act Relating to Minimum Age for Firearm Purchase or Transfer.
Representative Salzman, you are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill changes the age to purchase firearms from 21 to 18, and that is the bill.
In 2018, the families came to Tallahassee and asked for more than thoughts and prayers. And this body, along with the Senate and the governor, gave them more than thoughts and prayers. They passed the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Act, a bipartisan act, because all of the studies show that it makes sense to raise the purchase age to 21. As a matter of fact, individuals 18 to 20 are three times more likely to commit an act of violence.
As often happens in the conversation about sort of big issues, the two sides spent a lot of time in this debate in the House, and I think it was Wednesday. Yes, Wednesday. Talking past each other, you know, quite a bit, unfortunately. But also, and I do want to give credit where it's due, talking to each other a little bit. And more the ones who want to reduce the age of gun purchase in Florida back to 18 the way it was before the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas shooting and the act that followed that put it all the way up to 21 for every gun. You know, in case you're new to this conversation, and it's okay to be. In fact, you're welcome here if you're new to all this conversation. We put the age, the federal age for pistols is 21, and the Florida law made it 21 for long barrels, or you know what they call long barrels, which is rifles and shotguns. So for every gun. So 19-year-old can't go buy a gun on their own without, a parent could buy one and then give it to them, but you can't buy it from a retail seller, okay? Which I know seems like a weird law. Like, if 19-year-olds aren't supposed to be having guns, why are they allowed to have any kind of guns? Or if they're allowed to be given guns by their parents, why can't they go buy a gun? Like, why do we depend on the kindness of strangers or the family? You know, why is that the way this works? Well, it just is. It's, kind of the way this is all set up. So Robin Bartleman, one of the key opponents of this bill that's being run by Michelle Salzman and Tyler Soroy. And, a lot of arguments about what is the correct age at which we can trust a person to own a gun. You know, a lot of comments about what we send them off to war at 18 or 19, why cannot we trust them with a pistol we don't control that. It's a federal law. Why can't we trust them with a shotgun at the age of 19? Christine Hanschowski, a Democrat.
I hear a lot when we talk about this discussion about the Constitution and our rights. And for anybody who has actually looked back in history, Governor Morris, for example, one of the founding fathers, didn't think people under the age of 21 had the necessary judgment for quite a few things. And actually, when we look back in those early days, people were called infants if they were under the age of 21. So to now talk about that age as if we just picked it up out of nowhere, it's actually rooted in our United States history and among the founding fathers of this country.
So we're in a pretty weird place here where the Republicans are arguing for an age of 18 and the Democrats are arguing for, strict constructionism of the Constitution, originalism, Hey, look at what Governor Morris thought. Governor Morris thought you couldn't trust these 20-year-olds, therefore they ought not to have guns, which is an interesting argument. But of course, what's the obvious response to that? You say, well, I don't know, Andrew, that's why you have the talk show. Well, no, the obvious response is, okay, but they also, at the time of the founding, didn't let 18, 19, and 20-year-olds do what? Vote. Right? We have changed our minds over time. through constitutional amendment about what constitutes the age of majority, at least when it comes to voting. And if we're going to let people vote at the age of 18, then why wouldn't, generally speaking, your constitutionally protected rights go to the age of 18? And of course, that's, you know, part of what the other side started to point out, because the issue of what rights or what powers or what responsibilities you give to people at what age is the heart of this question. I mean, that is the very central fact in this whole conversation about what age to make it legal for somebody to purchase a gun. Because we have a whole group of authorities and rights that come in, and not all at the same time, which is weird. I mean, we have, obviously, you can drive a car at 16 if you pass a test. Heck, you can operate a boat at 14 if you pass a test in Florida, right? I'm 90% sure that's right. I think that's accurate, 14. On the other hand, you usually can't rent a car till you're 25. And it is weird that you could buy a gun even at 21, but you can't rent a car. Or you could, you know, if this law passes and we change it back, which it's probably not going to because the Senate doesn't have a companion bill, you know, you could buy a gun at, a rifle or a shotgun at 19, but you can't rent a car. You can't purchase and consume alcohol till you're 21. You can't be a sworn law enforcement officer till you're 21. You can't buy a pistol, right, till you're 21. But we do a lot of things, and that's because, as we know, the human brain is not fully developed until, well, I mean, I'm 54. I'm still waiting for it, you know? I mean, in some ways, nobody ever really gets there, but you have to draw the line somewhere, right? You have to say, at some point, we're going to let you make, you know, all the decisions that an adult is allowed to make. And so most of the decisions that we put into people's hands are at the age of 18. You know, when you're 18, you can have sex. In Florida, interestingly, did you know you really can't have sex until you're 18? That's, you know, where people sometimes think it's younger than that. There is a provision for the kind of the Romeo and Juliet concept, which is, you know, for somebody under 23 with somebody 16 or 17. But it's, I will say it this way, it's squishy in the law. Like, you could maybe be prosecuted, and it's not hard and fast, okay? You can get married at 17 with parental consent. You can enter contracts at 18. You can own property at 18. You can acquire debt at 18. You can be sued for damaging property or causing a tort. You can go to jail. You can potentially be executed. You can purchase and consume tobacco. You can serve on a jury. You can sentence somebody to death at 18. You can vote. You can be drafted, only men. And you can enlist in the military and serve in the military if you're 18. So the vast majority of adult responsibilities and powers and rights we put on people at the age of 18. The question is, what should guns be? Right? Should you be able to buy any gun at the age of 18?
In America, if you're a man, you must sign up for selective service at the age of 18. Which means, in America, we think you're mature enough to fight and die for this country. I philosophically believe that if you are treated as an adult to defend our country and to vote in our country, we must not infringe upon your constitutional rights.
Which is an argument you hear quite a bit. I don't think that argument is as strong as people think it is. The ability to serve in the military, of course, is kind of a special case because we don't just grab you off the street and send you over to war. Which is what the other side points out. Before you go serve in war, you have to go through, well, some stuff.
Now, I've heard supporters of this bill argue that if you're old enough to join the military, you're old enough to own a gun. But let's be clear. Military service comes with intense training, supervision, and accountability. Buying a firearm at a gun show or a gun store or having it be given to you does not come with that same level of training or responsibility.
Yeah, in fact, it's more robust even than that. Anna Eskamani, of course, a Democrat, fairly well-known Democrat in the House. I actually like her a lot. She's usually got something interesting to say, even though I probably disagree with her 95% of the time. Dan Daley, another Democrat.
Now, we've heard it a couple times on this floor today, and I've heard it in committee. You're 18 years old. You're old enough to serve. You should be able to purchase that firearm. Thank you for stepping up to serve our country. Thank you for doing that. But let's drill down on that for just a second. In just the case of the Army, you're going to go through an 11-week basic course. You're going to go through a three-week intensive marksmanship course where they don't even let you touch the firearm until week three, phase three of your intensive training. You also undergo, guess what, a background check. You also undergo a mental health evaluation.
And you're taught discipline and not just taught how to use the weapon safely, but, you know, imparted a certain set of values and taught how to think about warfare and, I mean, all kinds of things go into military training. So I actually think, even though I am absolutely in favor of reducing the gun age to 18, I actually think the argument that you can be sent to war, or that you can enlist in the military and be sent to war and be, trusted to fly a plane and drop bombs and, shoot a tank and, of course, shoot an M16 or I guess now M9 or what, M4, whatever gun you're going to have. I don't think that's as strong an argument as people think it is, because it's different. The guy who goes through military indoctrination and training and then actually fires weapons of war versus the person who is 18 off the street and just goes into a shop and buys a gun and has the power to use it. They are different. And the difference comes in the preparation, the training, the oversight, the background check, all that stuff. So, again, I don't think that argument is quite as strong as most people on my side tend to think that it is. But you have other issues, which are, for example, well, what is the age of adulthood? What is the age where we're going to put all of this responsibility and power upon you? And at what age should people be allowed to defend themselves? Or, I mean, frankly, at what age should people be allowed to consider themselves the repository of civic responsibility that would defend the country against, say, an invasion or against a domestic tyranny? And to my way of thinking, this answer is actually very simple. At least philosophically, it's very simple. When you can vote, you should be able to have a gun. Because voting is violence through other mechanisms. And I thought it was interesting that at least one of the opponents of the bill, Jennifer Harris, tried to act as though voting and gun ownership are cognitively, functionally, practically, completely different things. They're really not if you understand them both properly.
We have a responsibility to public safety. And we can't make false equivalences. We can't compare casting a ballot to holding an automatic weapon that can kill dozens of people in a record matter of time.
Okay, yes, she says automatic. What she should have said was semi-automatic. And of course, it's not the matter of semi-automatic versus a revolver that's the issue. It's the matter of long barrel versus short. But okay, but her basic point is that voting and gun ownership are fundamentally different, because with a gun, you can kill a bunch of people in a record time, and with a vote, you can't kill anybody. You can vote for capital laws. You can vote for elected leaders who choose to go to war and kill lots of people. You can vote to have police, which is usually the vote we make. I mean, some people want to go the other way on this, but you vote to have police. Police sometimes kill people. You actually make all kinds of decisions by proxy through voting that affect the lives of 1, 5, 10, 1,000. Millions of people, potentially. She underestimates the power of voting, the significance of voting, the importance of voting. You absolutely can kill people through voting. Oh, I know, not right there at the ballot box. But what do you think voting is? The most sacred and powerful and scary thing we do with our vote is literally give the state the power to kill in our name, on our behalf, when it thinks it's appropriate to do so. You don't think that's at least similar to the power of owning a gun? I do. I absolutely do. And that's exactly why I think that you shouldn't be separating these things. The power, again, civil war is what happens when you don't have a functional government, right? You just, we're stronger than you and we're going to take power. We're going to do things our way. Voting is a way of doing civil war without doing civil war. And instead of fighting and stabbing and shooting, we vote. And whoever has the most wins. Just like in a war, whoever has the most wins. I mean, roughly, right? Voting, democracy, is proxy warfare. So for me, this is actually, a fairly simple question. If you can vote, you should be able to own a gun. Now, maybe you say they shouldn't be able to vote. The voting age should be 21. Because they're not fully developed in their brains, and they make bad decisions, and they engage in violence, which is all true, okay? But then we ought to be consistent, and we ought to say, you know, you can't be on a jury till you're 21, and you can't be sentenced as an adult until you're 21, and you can't enter a contract until you're 21, and we already say you can't drink till you're 21, which is a little of a weird one. It's a little bit of an outlier, right? And you shouldn't be able to vote till you're 21, and you shouldn't be able to have a gun till you're 21. We have an inconsistency in our society. And this law, or proposed law, is trying to address that inconsistency. But let's not forget, and it's an important thing to mention, there will be a cost to having 18, 19, and 20-year-olds have the constitutional right, properly protected, and own guns. Some of them will buy those guns and then do awful things. You can't argue that. That's true. If you make the gun purchase age higher, you'll get less of these attacks. So that's a trade-off you make. Do we want the constitutional rights given to good people, responsible people at a certain age that carry with it the danger that bad people will misuse them? Or do we raise the age for those constitutional rights? To me, that's the question. And sometimes the other side doesn't see it clearly, and sometimes our side doesn't see it clearly. And I just always want everybody to see things a little bit more clearly. That's my goal. 526 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator Method of Adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Are you a victim of the timeshare trap and think there's no way out? I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, the original timeshare cancellation expert. And I'm here to tell you that there is a way out. All you need to do is give my office a call. I will send you a timeshare exit information kit absolutely free, explaining how the timeshare industry works and your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your free info kit. Call 800-335-2299. That's 800-335-2299.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, as if.
Oh, somebody sent in a very interesting, I don't know that they're necessarily making it a proposal, but they're saying, if all of this stuff that you're saying, Andrew, about the gun age and the voting and voting is proxy warfare and civil war by other means is all true, then maybe we should have 18, 19, and 20-year-olds be required to be registered to vote to buy a gun. Interesting. Of course, that also raises the question of what kind of restrictions. So instead of making gun ownership easier, maybe we should restrict voting more. Like pass a test, have competency, you know. I mean, this is the conversation. This is the right conversation. And it's kind of interesting because sometimes conservatives tend to say, well, I'm just, you know, I don't really want everybody to vote. I just want the people who are smart enough to vote. I want people who are capable. I want people who are not morons, you know, to get out there and vote. And I'm sympathetic to that. Of course, if you're going to say that, then what do you say about buying a gun? Which is, again, I mean, it's an it's a very interesting conversation. Let's see. Steve Taylor is in for David this morning with our headline. Steve?
President Trump's ordering the Smithsonian to remove what he calls anti-American ideology from its museums. Yesterday, Trump signed an executive order promising to eliminate, quote, improper, divisive, or anti-American ideology from that institution. The FAA is telling Congress it must do more to ensure flying remains safe after that mid-air collision over Washington, D.C. that killed 67 people back in January. Investigators have highlighted 85 close calls around Reagan Airport over 3 years before the crash. The Trump administration's revoking hundreds of student visas. Yesterday, Secretary of State Marco Rubio said 300 or more student visas are being revoked as the White House targets students who express their support of Palestine, and that's what's happening.
What was the, where did they want to get rid of the divisive ideology?
Yeah, at the Smithsonian.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, last I checked, democracy was divisive. I don't know about you, but, you know, this is both the source of and the remedy to our division is the way I was always trained. So, Steve, thank you so much for the update.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. 7.7 magnitude earthquake and an aftershock measuring 6.4 rocking Thailand and neighboring Burma. High-rise building under construction in Bangkok collapses, damaging historic buildings in Burma.
Thailand declaring a state of emergency. The quake causing high-rise buildings to sway in Bangkok, the capital of Thailand. Dozens of workers are reported missing.
First responders trying to pull people out of the rubble. This man said he walked out onto the street in Bangkok and saw another building.
It was actually moving. It was swaying, and all the water was coming from the top of the, and that's when it got me, you know.
These three are dead, but that number could go up. Vice President J.D. Vance, along with his wife Usha, and a delegation traveling to Greenland today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31, 61 degrees right now in Pensacola. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. The University of West Florida is set to make waves at the Port of Pensacola. City Council members have unanimously approved a lease for a portion of Warehouse Number 8, where UWF will launch its new water and vessel engineering program in partnership with the American Magic Yacht Racing Team. With a major grant and plans for growth, local officials say this initiative could be a game changer for economic development at the port. Mayor D.C. Reeves expressed enthusiasm for the growth possibilities this partnership brings to the port.
Certainly, we're excited to continue to grow and expand what we always hoped. Of course, the presence of American Magic, and as we continue to recruit and grow and expand those type of uses.
The lease's start date has been postponed to July 1st, allowing more time for preparations. A 49-year-old Pensacola man was arrested yesterday evening after a video made rounds on social media showing him allegedly harming a dog. After many viewers messaged Channel 3 News to bring the man in that video to justice, the Escambia County Sheriff's Office arrested Charles David Thornton II. The Sheriff's Office says Animal Control referred the case back to them after further investigation. Following the case exchange, Thornton is now facing a charge of cruelty towards an animal. Thornton's in the Escambia County Jail without bond. A large souvenir store is making waves in Navarre Beach as the popular Alvin's Island chain is preparing to break ground on a new 30,000-square-foot location set to become the biggest business on the beach. Some residents, like Paul Escavasada, are for it.
They've been having nothing here for years. It's time for a change. Nothing has been here since years, so why not have a little growth? You know what I'm saying? Bring some more of the economy and bring more people to the beach, right?
While others, like business owner Tamara Fountain, express their concerns.
It's disappointing that is the kind of business that we're attracting. That's not what our community really wants to do.
With mixed opinions surrounding the construction, the county is still unclear on when the project will officially begin. Looks like another nice day. Let's check the forecast from Channel 3.
One last dry day to wrap up the work week before we see some changes in the forecast as we head into the weekend. For your Friday, expect sun and clouds with temperatures in those lower 70s. Going into tonight, mostly cloudy in the upper 60s. Saturday, increasing chance for some showers and storms, and that lasts into the second half of the weekend as well. Be sure to stay with us on WEAR. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your first warning weather update.
Right now, 61 degrees in Pensacola, 61 also in Gulf Breeze, and 58 degrees in Milton. At 5:34. Next news is at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
The first years of school are crucial for your child's development. At Pensacola Christian Academy, students thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation for your child. Kindergartners become confident readers, grow fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Good morning, 5:36 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you on this Friday. Coming up at 6:20, the early service for the Transgressors Memorial Service, or the sometimes referred to as the Woe Unto All Who Offend element, where I play a woke pastor and we talk about the things that are canceled or celebrated according to wokeism, the religion of the day that I satirically pretend to believe in. And also 8:20, which is the late service. So early or late service, whichever church you want to attend. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, as we typically do on a Thursday. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So let's start with this, kind of a cool good news note. You had another member of the Pensacola Police Department go through the FBI Academy, the Escambia County Sheriff. They put people through there. You guys put people through there. This one's only a little bit different from some of the ones in the past. Tell why.
Well, because it's the first female that's ever graduated from the FBI National Academy at the Pensacola Police Department. Lieutenant Amy Parsons did that on March 26th. She was in a class that was 10 weeks long. It consisted of 244 men and women from 48 states and the District of Columbia. It also had members of law enforcement agencies from 24 countries and 11 military organizations and also four federal civilian organizations. So, that's a pretty big deal to just to get selected, let alone go through it and come out on the other side.
No, I totally agree. It's a great thing. I mean, and, you know, there's been a handful of people go through it at PPD, like, over the years. And, you know, I know former PPD folks like Chip Simmons and Tommy Leiter have been there and, you know, Andy Hobbs at the, you know, sheriff's office. So it's a great thing. For people who might not be familiar, what is the value to PPD? Like, what does it do for the agency to make them stronger?
Well, these are going to be people that are in leadership to start with, lieutenants and above. So they already are showing leadership traits, and they must have proven records as professionals within their agencies to attend, which she certainly has. So, you know, they're going to be learning things such as going through academic training, physical fitness, and networking. And all of those are major assets to be a future leader. She's already a lieutenant, but this is just going to help propel her further in her future.
Very cool. No, we always good to see. And by the way, just, you know, it makes me think about something that I don't think you and I have talked about in a long time, but historically, the effort to have as much of the population represented on the police force is always, you know, has been a goal. And that means both, you know, black officers, but also female officers. What is the current population of the Pensacola Police Department? You've got, what, 150 or so officers? Am I in the ballpark for this? And how many of them are women right now?
Yeah, give or take around 150, and I don't have an exact count on females. We have several, a lot. And I've said this many times before. I was trained as a brand-new rookie by a female field training officer, and Andrew, I would rather have her backing me up than a lot of the male officers. The females are a huge asset, especially when it comes to a suspect that is out of control. This particular female I have in mind looked at this man that we were having to fight and said, "Why don't you grow up and act like a man and get in the backseat of that cruiser?" And he did it. And the rest of us were looking at her like, "How did you do that?" So, that's the sex of the officer doesn't matter, never has. It's just, can that officer do the job? And we've got lots of females at the Pensacola Police Department that are very, very capable of doing that.
Well, I don't want to sound like I'm disagreeing with you, but your story actually illustrates that sometimes it does matter, that women might have different skills that men don't have, just like men might have different skills that women don't have, and that, you know, sometimes the thing that, you know, sets you apart is the thing that makes you more effective in a scenario. And, you know, that certainly that's an understandable thing. So, I like that. You also had a DUI where I guess the guy winds up running into a police cruiser. Is that right?
Yeah, the officer had the blue lights on, was doing something completely unrelated when it was struck in the rear by an impaired driver. And, you know, that's happened before. Officer Mary Williams Green was struck in the rear on the 3 Mile Bridge. And if you just look it up, Google it, look at YouTube videos, it happens all over the country. It's almost like the blue lights sometimes help us and hinder us at the same time, but only with impaired drivers. It's almost like a moth to a bright light when they're impaired. They just hit the cruiser in the rear end.
Are you telling me that we need better unmarked cars and unlit cars?
Well, I mean, either that or we're going to need to put tires across the back of these cruisers like a tugboat, when you got impaired drivers. But it's happened more than we would like to see, that's for sure.
No, and it's, you know, I always, the school district always has this same comment, like, you know, we paint them bright yellow so you can see and avoid them. But, you know, it's kind of like the old driving advice is, you know, don't aim to avoid the bad thing. Aim for your exit, right? You know, don't try to avoid the pole because you want to drive into the pole. Aim for the gap, right? Same kind of thing is, you know, aiming to miss a cruiser may not work, especially if you're impaired, unfortunately. So, but the law enforcement officer was okay. No problems there?
Minor injuries, yes, he's fine.
Okay, well, minor's not great, but, you know, I'll take that over something much, much worse. I got a question from somebody the other day that I thought was kind of an interesting one. I wanted to run by you. The question was, you know, we know porch pirates, it's a problem. We know people stealing stuff in general is a problem. But what are you allowed to do? You know, you and I and Chip and Bob Johnson, we talk about gun all the time, okay? I feel like I'm very comfortable when I can and when I cannot use my gun. But the question of lower than gun type incidents, like, let's say you actually confront somebody on your property stealing one of your, you know, parcels. What are you allowed to do? Now, you obviously can't shoot them. You can't even draw your gun unless you feel like you're threatened. But can you put hands on them? Can you fight them, wrestle them, detain them? In general, can you put hands on somebody when it's, you know, important to stop them from doing something that doesn't involve like a lethal threat? Like, what are the rules for that? I don't know, and I'm asking you.
Can you? Yes. Should you? No. You know, the best thing, what we would like to see a person do is be a good witness, get a good description of them, the vehicle they might be in, and call 911. But you can. You can stop them. You can use physical force, but the force must be reasonable to hold them until law enforcement gets there. That's the thing. And some people call that a citizen's arrest. And depending on what's in that package, it's going to depend on what, you know, decides whether it's a misdemeanor or a felony. So, we're never going to say take the law in your own hands and put yourself at risk. If you remember a couple of years ago, there was an individual at a Circle K on Garden Street that had his pickup truck stolen. He saw it backing out of the parking space. He ran and jumped in the back of his own truck while the person that stole it was speeding away. The person that stole it found a gun in the cab and started shooting at the truck owner with his own gun. Now, he decided quickly that this probably wasn't the best idea and was able to jump out of the back of that truck before he got hurt or killed. So you have to make these decisions on your own in a split second on whether you want to confront this person or not.
I remember that case. What a crazy case. But so there is a level of physical force that a citizen is allowed to use to detain somebody in the commission of a crime, particularly on my property. Is it wise to do so? That's a secondary question. But in terms of legal justification, you know, hey, man, stay there. Oh, no, you don't. You know, I can do some things.
So any use of force during that incident must be proportionate to the circumstances and intended solely to prevent harm or escape.
Got it.
You can't take a baseball bat, start beating a person for taking a box from Amazon that's got plastic cups in it. You just, you know, you have to be able to, in order to use force like that or a gun, you have to fear for the safety of yourself or those inside your home.
Okay. And I mean, but they're really nice cups, by the way. But no, and I take that part. And I'm glad you included the or fleeing part because you can detain them. You can't use excessive force. You know, it is so unsatisfying as imagining myself in this scenario and you say, well, let them go and just get the license plate. That is so unsatisfying. But I understand the wisdom of the advice, you know?
And we have to say that because it depends on the physical condition and not the training, but can this person do this safely to keep from getting hurt? You know, a police officer, somebody was taking something off my front porch, you know, we're going to take care of business. But and all officers are going to think that way because they do that every day. But somebody that's never confronted a criminal before has got to think this through. And it's a tough decision to make in a split second.
Yeah, and I mean, every physical altercation involves risk that you don't think about. And I mean, just from itself, but also they can escalate, which is, you know, always a concern. All right, perfect. Thank you. Somebody asked that question. They've already texted me. Thank you for asking. Mike, can you give me a confirm amen that the solution becomes the next problem, the cascading problem of either traffic or other kinds of crowd control, all that kind of stuff? Is that right?
That is a confirmed amen, sir.
Unfortunately, yeah. I wish it weren't, but it is. Hey, we always like to end with a cop myth or a did you know. Do you have one for me this week?
Yeah, and the question was, does the chief of police make arrests? Can or will he? And the answer to that
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say it has to be yes. Is it yes?
Yeah. Obviously, he and Deputy Chief Chrisman are sworn police officers. But, you know, those guys are mostly tied up with leadership duties, budget management, personnel oversight, community relations, policy development, crisis management, technological advancement, and a whole, I could go, a whole list of things that they do.
Talking to the media, eating donuts. I get you, right? Okay.
I didn't say that part. You did. but they're busy guys, but they absolutely, you can see both Chief Randall and Deputy Chief Chrisman on the street making traffic stops, getting out with people, answering calls. That happens all the time. You see, Sheriff Simmons is one of the first to go through a building when there's an active shooter. So these administrators are absolutely law enforcement officers, but they are boots on the ground. They came from patrol, and once a cop, always a cop. It's just that they're tied up with other things all day that they're not able to do that as much as the rest of us.
And in a weird way, like just as a philosopher, this is the angle I bring to things sometimes, is it makes sense because if the authority to make an arrest comes from the deputization or the oath swearing, you know, the superior officer is granting you that authority, it must be that that superior officer has that authority to begin with. So, you know, it kind of makes sense that they would at least be able to do it, even though they wouldn't often have the necessity to do it. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for PPD. Mike, as always, thank you. Thank you for the time. Thanks for the keeping us safe. And thanks for indulging my weird sense of humor. I always appreciate that, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
I've got one, too. Don't worry about it.
All right. 548 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home, and I really say thinking, like you haven't made a decision yet, now is the time to call a good realtor. You say, well, but I haven't decided I need one. Yeah, exactly. The realtor is the expert. The realtor is the person who can answer your question. And when it comes to somebody like Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, with all the homes they sell every year, you know, 165 last year, 175 the year before that, like just clicking along three and a half, four a week, they know. And they can help you make a better decision. I mean, sometimes we get this backwards, right? Like, we make a decision and then we call the expert to help us implement it, when what we could do instead is maybe call the expert and ask them to help us make a good decision. Because, right, you know, that's easier, and that's a good way to gather information. So you've been thinking about buying a rental. Is that a good idea? Call her. You've been thinking about buying a beach home. Is that a good idea? Can you afford it? Call her. You know, you've been thinking about selling your home. Is now the right time? Is August the right time? Is December the right time? Call her. You know, that's it. Just call her. She loves talking to people. She loves answering questions. She's kind of a nerd about real estate in a good way. And she will help you, you know, think through the implications. And so just give Christina Leavenworth a call. 723-9158. It's not a commitment. It's not a, you know, you don't have to become a client. Just pick up the phone and talk to somebody who knows what she's talking about. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
April 12th is the biggest party of the year.
Pensacola Little Theater presents Cabaret of Curiosities, Revelry Reimagined, as the entire building and surrounding block turns into an entertainment complex for one night. The fanciful theme revels in all things magical, mystical, enchanting, and charming as attendees wind through inexplicable oddities. It's an all-inclusive event that includes six open bars and culinary art. Don't miss the biggest party of the year.
Get your tickets now at the PLT box office or at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Daniel will not stop crying. I've changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple Crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the Period of Purple Crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I will do it with my spear and magic helmet.
Benson Boone was. I had heard a couple of the songs, but I was watching the Grammys and he performed and he got up on the piano and he parkoured off of it and I thought, I want to see who this guy is. And I looked it up and...
You really didn't know?
Nah. You know, I'm
going to have to culture you.
I have gaps in some of my music knowledge, especially new stuff. But I will say what I always do is I listen to, you know, the song and the other couple of famous songs and then I go and like check out all their other stuff and sometimes you're like, oh man, what a great resource. And sometimes you're like, yep, I had already found the good ones. And I feel like Benson Boone is the kind of guy that he has an amazing voice.
Yeah.
If only we could find him better writers and producers to better use that voice on all, like to make these kinds of songs, right? You know, that's my own wish. Because I think that, you know, if you got an album that's 10 songs or whatever and, you know, two or three of them are good, I mean, it's pretty normal, but... let's find a way to make the other seven better, you know, is my own view. 553 News Radio 92.3. Let's see. We got Steve in for David this morning with our headline. Steve?
President Trump is backing two Republican candidates in Florida's upcoming special elections. He joined a telephone town hall last night for Florida's chief financial officer, Jimmy Patronis, who's running to replace former Congressman Matt Gaetz in the state's first congressional district. He also called in for state Senator Randy Fine, running to replace Congressman Mike Walls in the 6th district. Walls resigned to become Trump's national security advisor.
Oh, by the way, this is a big push now. Republicans are afraid.
Yes, they are.
And in fact, we just pulled Oh, what is her name? Off of being the nominee to be the United Nations. Yeah, that's right. Stefanik, Lee Stefanik from New York.
So she can keep her seat.
That's right, because the margin is so slim, they are scared. They're scared of losing D1 or D6 here in Florida. They're obviously scared to keep, to risk the New York Congress. So it's very interesting times in these elections, especially with all of the actions the Trump administration has taken. And often the pushback against it. It's going to be interesting to see what happens on Tuesday. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, speaking of pushback, 3 out of 4 Americans feel the Trump administration's use of a Signal group chat to discuss military plans is a serious problem. That includes 60% of Republicans. That's according to a YouGov poll. The poll was taken after it was revealed this week that high-ranking officials talked about plans to carry out attacks in Yemen in a group chat that accidentally included the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic, who reported the breach. And, of course, right now the rest is history.
Who are the other 40% of Republicans who don't think this was a problem?
I don't know.
Anyway, go on.
Well, I have a question. Are you tired of the same old ice cream flavors?
Nope.
Well, in case you were looking for something new,
a new
breast milk flavored ice cream.
Oh, come on! What are you doing to us?
It is doing.
5 a.m.
Yes. look, man. All milk is breast milk, maybe not human, right? Come on.
Yeah, true,
but whatever. But go on.
It is due in 9 months if you're waiting for it.
Get it?
Stop it! Come on.
Well, it's a group, a company called Frida. They're celebrating the new 2-in-1 manual breast pump. But they're putting out this, what they call a sweet treat.
Oh.
I'm not sure it's going to be a big seller, you know.
It's 2 and 9 months.
Oh, no.
And it's all your fault, Andrew.
No.
That's what's happening.
I love it.
it's a Jell-O pudding pop.
What's
that? Just like, this is so wrong. This is so wrong.
That's what I thought.
Oh man, you're the best, Steve. Too bad you're not with us all the time. Anyway, it's all right. 5:56. All right, John.
That was good.
It's on the market. The human milk. You know, chocolate mint, French vanilla. Why is it French? Is available, you know? Like, you go to the, you know, I don't even want to name an ice cream shop in connection with this, but you go to your favorite ice cream shop and, you know, you order your, let's just say, French vanilla, and then they say, cow or human.
Wow.
What are you doing?
Wow.
Are you trying it?
No.
Hell no.
I mean.
No, absolutely not.
I'll let somebody else try it and then tell me.
No. Oh, yeah.
Hey, but that's on them, not on me.
That you're
going to
still
it.
Be friends with? Super weird.
I mean, you don't have to like them.
Andrew, why are you so down on women's bodies?
Really?
You don't get that we treat humans and animals differently, right? I mean, we do have a whole range of mores, taboos, rules about everything from... there's a lot of differences. This is one of those differences. Well, if it's good enough for a kid, it's good enough. Stop it. I'm not having this conversation with you. 437-1620. Oh, we're getting texts.
Oh, yes. That's what I was going to tell you.
We're getting texts. Was that ice cream flavor announcement supposed to come out next Tuesday, April Fool's? Oh, that's funny. Yeah, see? Maybe it's an April Fool's thing. Somebody says, with one comment, man, y'all turned into middle schoolers. No. No, we simply revealed that we already are middle schoolers, and all it took was one news story to pull that right out of us. 437-1620. All right, now where was I? Listen, we got this stuff. I don't know. There's other things going on in the world. We probably ought to talk about them. Did you see that? Facebook is changing its video storage policy. Did you see this? Did you get a note from Facebook? No, this is true. They're going to delete your old lives.
Well, that's mean.
Yeah, they're video storage space is the problem. And so you can download them, apparently, but you've got like a couple of months to go download your videos if you want to store them. And they're like, we are sick of storing all of your trash like your mom. all of these old Facebook Live videos. You know, I don't really do Facebook Live. I record a video, edit it, and then I post it. That's my way. I don't like doing the Facebook Live typically. June 30th is apparently the end. Live videos published before February 19th will be made available for you to download until June 20th. after that, any existing live videos published before will be deleted from your page. And then I think you got 30 days. So you're going to put a Facebook Live video up in, say, July, and then it'll get deleted in 30 days. I feel like I want to keep all the old stuff, but in reality, do you ever even look at it? Really? Kind of hate to see it go away, though, free service.